The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The amount of people looking for Andy Moore around Positano, it was all the rage. They're asking him what he's got to do next. When's the next episode out? The Football Pod's gone international.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
So it is time to turn to rugby. Alan Quinlan, good morning to you.
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
Flying it, thanks. And the season here, obviously, about to get underway, so we're all excited. You don't give a toss about the Ryder Cup. You're like, give me, hook the URC into my veins, Quinny.
No, I do care about the Ryder Cup big time. I can't wait for it. I love it.
What's going to happen? The Owl Lads, the European Owl Lads, or the US Young Guns?
Well, it's they're obviously favourites to USA. You know, they're more players ranked higher up in the world rankings, but we've seen that over the years. Europe seem to revel in that kind of underdogs situation, and hopefully they can. I just hope Shane Lowry can. We can see some emotion and passion from him, and from an Irish point of view, and McIlroy. So it's exciting. It's always great. It's totally different for these guys mentally and playing as a team, and that's what excites people. So America are favourites. They're probably the foreign players going in. But as I said, that form goes out the window sometimes, you know, when they get into action in this. But it'll be exciting. It'll be something good to watch at the weekend.
It'll be absolutely cracking. Really looking forward to it. We've had the Magners League, Quinny, the Celtic League, the Pro 12, Pro 14. We might have had 16 at some point in there as well. They've all threatened to settle down at some point as tournaments. Like, be a credible Excuse thing me. That, bless you, that everybody could... It could stand on its own 2 feet and everybody could get behind. They threatened that and at times maybe even were that, but it feels like there's been a lot of tinkering that's gone on over the last little while, and it kind of feels like the URC can't just be another shot in the dark here. It's got to work.
Yeah, you would think so. Obviously, there's no point in bringing in other teams and expanding the competition if it's not for the better of it. Look, Adrian, I think everybody realised we've seen so many one-sided games over the last number of years. The Irish provinces have been pretty dominant, which is frustrating. I feel I'm sad that the Welsh at times are not that competitive, bar the Scarlets. I think, look, it's probably, and the Ospreys will probably say, and the Dragons and the Cardiff Blues will say, look, they've taken scalps over the years, but come the business end, they seem to fade away. It really affects them when their internationals are not playing. Their depth isn't as big. Mm. They probably don't have the same finances. And part of me is sad that the Welsh are not, you know, getting possibly 2-3 competing to get into Europe, and they're thereabouts at the business end of the table, business end of the year, I should say. So, you know, with this new format, there's going to be no games in November internationals and Six Nations. So it definitely gives the Welsh a better chance. And I think that's a good thing. I think splitting up into the conferences, you know, creates a little mini competition. We always had a goal when I played to be the best team in Ireland, win the Interpros. And effectively, there's an Interpro series there for Ireland, Wales, Scotland go into the, you know, with the two Italians, Glasgow and Edinburgh, and then you have the South African one. So I think it will enhance the kind of the domestic game here as well. A few question marks about some of the, I suppose, the bite and the intensity of our interpros in the last number of years as well. So, you know, it has to showcase something different. It has to bring a different bit of quality. There's a lot of criticism from the Gallagher Premiership, from English journalists. The Welsh are losing interest as well. So we have to try and garner that interest again. And like I say, I would love to see the Welsh being strong again and having their top teams out and their as many internationals as they can. The internationals are not going to play all these games. And a lot of them are, the South Africans won't see theirs till probably end of November, December. So, which is, there's nothing I can do about that. But hopefully we can see as many internationals playing as regularly as possible in the competition.
Yeah, and it does seem at least set up sort of in that way. The, like, South African interest in it, obviously part of it is to do a qualification for Europe from the Celtic nations or whatever. The South African involvement in that sense is slightly odd, but them obviously bringing over the best teams, the best players on a consistent basis. Like, one of the biggest criticisms of the version that went before was that they weren't the versions of the teams that you want to see coming over, competing week in, week out. Like, if at any point that starts to diminish, and I know, look, at it's behind now, it's RTE and TG Car are going to broadcast it, and that's always been a criticism of it, that people weren't sure where to find the games. But like, at a core level, I was listening to Declan McBennett on the League LOI Central podcast this week, and he was talking about the core product of the League of Ireland. Effectively, he was saying it's not good enough to warrant putting a lot of it on the TV in primetime slots where other programming might do much better, that the audience wasn't there for it. And like, the same can be said of this, Quinny, if the best teams aren't being put out all the time.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. You left Premier out there and TG Carr as well, but I'm going to be doing some matches in Premier, yeah. So I have to give them a mention.
Give them a shout, dead right.
For subscribers to Sky, with that package, you'll get Premier. But look, it is great for the reality is, for this being going out free to air, and a lot of these matches free to air, is, Premier will have every match, RTE, TG Cahir, BBC Northern Ireland, BBC Wales, all those. A lot of games will be put on, played free to air as well, which is great. And that's actually something that helps garner the interest, because if it's all on subscriber TV, it's more difficult, and it's the casual viewer will now tune in. But the day that presents a danger in itself, you know, if they tune into a game and it's rubbish and it's one sided, you might lose them. But if the games are good, I just thought the Rainbow Cup last year kind of, even though it was. At the end of the season and in the middle of the pandemic and all that, and COVID was an issue, and I just thought there was a different kind of approach from the teams. I suppose they will be kind of doing everything in their power to play cup rugby and win points and most of the teams, but I just hope it brings a bit of enthusiasm and into all these teams as well. And the South Africans, you know, bring something different. We know that they're about their physicality, but hopefully the club sides here will be a bit expansive and try and throw the ball around a little bit. But if the product is bad, and the proof will be in the pudding, Edring, you know, we're not going to get brilliant games every week. That's just a reality. But we want to see the internationals playing against each other. It's a reduced format. There's less games. That's why some of the weekends are freed up. There'll be an outright league winner. But I really like the conference scenario, where you get rewarded and you get you're guaranteed a place in Europe if you top your conference. Does it make it more difficult? Look at the Irish conference, you know, with the four Irish provinces. Most likely, Leinster will top that conference pool. And then you've got Munster, Ulster and Connacht kind of scrambling to try and get in a top four then. When the four qualifiers are taken out of it, so it makes it really, really tricky and interesting, and you know, getting into Europe is really important for the Irish provinces. But hopefully the rugby will be good, and that the product will be different, a little bit different.
Quinny, hopefully, you mentioned the fact that there's fewer games. Hopefully that means that at least, you know, the games that you do play will mean more. I just wanted to get your take on Andy Friend's criticism of the format. He's been kind of speaking about the fact that essentially, you know, as he's put it, if we had it last year where the top four teams were the four Irish provinces, he said, to me, it's a bit unfair that they're not the ones who are going to be representing in the Champions Cup. Like, are there some flaws to the format, or is it just the case that with a new tournament like this, it's going to take a little bit of time for head coaches to get used to it and for it to bed in?
Yeah, I can understand straight away his issue with it, because for obvious reasons, as he says himself, if you know, the four of them were at the top four last year, they would have all four Irish provinces would have qualified. The problem we have, that's great from an Irish point of view, Shane, but Wales, Scotland, and Italy to a lesser extent, I think they probably don't say much about it, but I know the Welsh sometimes are frustrated and they're sick of the same old, because they're envious and they can't get into Europe and they want to play those games in Europe. I remember Ospreys been incredibly strong over the years when I played, and you know, the Scarlets have probably been the ones that have been in Europe and doing pretty okay in the last probably 7 or 8 years. But other than that, you know, Cardiff don't make it, the Dragons don't make it, and they want, I think the idea of it is to have a more of a geographical kind of representation, which is a little bit unfair when it's not on merit. So essentially, and this, you have to get your head around this, like I said, Leinster, I would probably pick four teams that will make it. It'll be Scarlets, Leinster, Edinburgh, and probably the Bulls. So if you take those four teams out of the, I'm just saying, they're possibly going to win their conferences. Now, there's no guarantee with any of that. So if you took the four of them out, you then have 14 teams left and you've got to be in the top four there. And that's the challenge for Connacht. But if they're good enough, then it's a shootout from there to make that top four in a second chance, essentially. And it makes it a bit trickier because... so I can understand his frustration, but it is what it is, and it's different, and it's something different. And I like the fact, I like these conferences as well. You know, we always, as I said, when I played with Munster, would have been be the best team in Ireland. And every province probably have this, and beat your local rivals, win the Interpros, and we'll have a lot of that. And hopefully a lot of meaningful games that there's a qualification for Europe at stake here.
Just while you were talking about it, and I want to come to talk to you about Ireland-Scotland in a minute, but just as you were talking about the quality of the games and the quality of the division, just looking at Ronan O'Gara's start to life in the top 14, it's been a tough opening three games from Quinny, 0-3. Now, that's on the face of it, and then you scratch beneath that and you see the quality of opposition that he's had to play and how close they ran John O'Gibbs, Claremont, obviously, last week. But this is tough now. You know, this is the reality, I suppose, of the week-to-week rugby, that the Hollywood stuff at the end of last season, this is back to earth with a bang now.
Yeah, it is. I think the frustrating probably one, and, you know, you always look at your fixtures and coaches sit down and they realise the reality of certain fixtures that are going to be really difficult, and they've been presented with really tough games at the start. At home to Toulouse, away to Racing, and away to Clermont, always going to be difficult. You kind of deal in reality in coaches' meetings, I think, and I've heard this from many coaches. You kind of look at a maximum and minimum number of points that are attainable, and where what's the reality here out of a certain block of games. So the one that would have probably frustrated him and upset him was the home game. You know, you want to win your home games, even though it's Toulouse, and they're incredibly strong, and it just makes it harder then when you're away to Racing and away to Clermont in the next two games. And you know yourself, pressure and results and a little bit of luck can desert you at times. So it's going to be tricky, absolutely. Yeah. And when you kind of look at it, three games, three losses, it looks bad for Rog and for La Rochelle, but. Like you say, when you scratch away the surface, you see the teams they've played. But he's got to win this weekend against Biarritz, and they're at home, and that's an essential game. If they don't win that, then it's a different kind of pressure. It cranks up a bit more. Biarritz have started really well, and good Irish representation. James Cronin, James Hart, Dave O'Callaghan, Francis Ailey, the former Munster player as well, that are there. They beat Racing. They beat Racing last week, 28-19 at home. So they're kind of up and running and had a good start in the top 14. So it's a tricky game for Rog and La Rochelle. And they've got to bounce back. He's got to get a win from somewhere this weekend because, as I said, winning and losing become habits. And luck tends to go with you or against you when you're on either run, you know. So... he's got to get back on track this weekend.
The irony of the fact that he needs somebody that can consistently kick the ball over the bar for him from Blaise Kicks is obviously,
it's a huge problem, yeah, you know, yeah, it's a huge problem. Yeah. And
Yeah, well, look, we'll keep an eye on it. I'm sure it's going to be another fascinating story again as the season unfolds. Ireland Scotland in Parma tomorrow, Quinny. It's a big tie, obviously a crucial tie for World Cup qualifiers. Four teams all locked on 5 points, one place up for grabs. So the connotations for Ireland are that they need to win and better the result of the winner from the other game, which is Italy against Spain, and they might do all of that. But it's not cut and dried.
No, it's not. A bonus point win against Scotland and a winning margin by more than 11 points guarantees 11 points better than Italy, greater than Italy guarantees them. So you'd imagine if Ireland do win with a bonus point, they'll be in that territory. Let's hope they don't look back with regret and frustration and anger at that result in the first game. Against Spain when they lost. I think they were so much better last week and better defensively, which was probably the key. But the challenge this week now is when you've got to go out and get bonus point wins, they might need a bonus point win. Spain could beat Italy. It could be a narrow game. There might be no bonus point win for Spain. It's essentially could come down to points difference here and it will come down to points difference, I think. But Spain are not out of it either. They could beat Italy and could be in the mix and have two wins. They're all level at the moment, and the three of them are level at the moment. So offensively, the challenge this week is to try and manage the game. And first and foremost, they've got to make sure that they get their fundamentals right, their set piece and their breakdown and their accuracy, and get the result against Scotland. If you start thinking bonus points too early, the advantage you'll have here as well, which is a massive advantage, and I think it is unfair on Spain and Italy, is the Ireland-Scotland game is on afterwards. So the Irish women will know what they'll have to, what they need to do, which is unfair in a sense. It's great for the Irish girls, but they've got to focus here and make sure they don't slip up against Scotland. They've beaten them pretty regularly in the last number of years. But they've got to make sure that they get a result first and a performance then to go with that, which merits putting them in that position where they can take it out of everyone else's hands, get a bonus point win by more than 11 points. And it'll be great if they can do make it and make up for that loss in the first game.
Yeah, well, failing to qualify might the postmortem from it might make everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks with the negative stories around women's rugby look like a molehill. I think there could be a big
fall. Just get the ball to Baby and Parsons and Amy Lee Murphy Crowe.
Yeah,
they've a lot of pace there. So look, hopefully it'll be great for them. And I think they put wear their heart in their sleeves and they deserve support. And that game is on at 5 o'clock tomorrow, and it'll be fantastic if they can wrap up qualification. If they don't get there automatically tomorrow, they still have a chance in a repechage. So let's hope they get the job done tomorrow and get a performance to go with it as well.
Yeah, good stuff. You're back on Monday. We'll pick through the weekend's action. Thanks, Quinny.
Cheers, lads. Thanks
a lot. Alan Quinlan on the line there.